All right, so we're back. It's Jared and Cameron, our sports talking podcast, where we talk about current events in sports, what we think is going to happen, break down past games, look at predictions. Right now in sports, you know, at your perfect time, football season's just beginning, basketball is right around the corner, some of the great free agents, LeBron James, all that stuff. But it really starts here with baseball, and postseason is starting. And Cameron, last night we had our first real postseason game outside of the tiebreakers. What did you think about the Rockies, Cubs, and a wild card?
Man, it was such a great game. Just entertaining perspective. I know some fans could probably say it was boring because it was one-run baseball for 13 innings, basically. But I think that's what was great about the game. Joe Maddon utilized his bullpen really strategically, using Hamels. I mean, looking at it from his perspective with the bullpen, you're thinking now it was a good idea because, you know, Hamels doesn't have to pitch again, and neither does Hendricks because they lost. And even though that was the reason why they lost, that last run was scored on such a weak hit, but it was such a low-scoring game last night. Colorado's bullpen was pitching great. Just both sides strategically, great game.
Yeah, I think it really brought out something that baseball fans may not want to say, but they missed. They missed the, you know, how am I going to attack this batter? How am I going to try and pitch around him? How do I use my bullpen guys in the best form? You know, right now, baseball has become so power-driven, so analytical. It kind of takes away from the gut instinct. And, you know, for a long time last night, I was like, the winner of this game is going to be whoever, you know, hits the homer, because that's what these guys are swinging at. I was like, Aaron is Arenado, Story, yeah. Bryant. But what it really came down to is putting together solid at-bats. You know, Story lead, you know, two-out single. He goes to third on a single. First to third. Being able to do those small baseball things that make such a difference, that get often overlooked in how statistic-driven we are some of the biggest things that get lost. I know you were talking last night about how Maddon utilized his bullpen, how he utilized his substitutions. Everybody wishes that they could see things in retrospective.
Yeah.
How do you think he maybe should have played it?
Well, especially with the hitter side, I think knowing it's a one-run game and, you know, your pitcher's pitching well, I think you gotta, I say you keep Lester in for another inning. I know you got some guys on your bench that have pop, Ian Happ, you know, Tommy Mostella. They're some great players, but then they're wasted when you're, I know in retrospect is hindsight is 20/20, but when you look back, you go, what was Joe Maddon doing when in the later innings he had Gore hitting and he had 27 career stolen bases and 19 at-bats. That just tells you, like, he was not supposed to be in that position, and that was a major, like, weak spot in Maddon's managerial.
Gore is strictly a weapon. Teams who have the luxury, like the Cubs, of having all of these guys, you know, tell me another team whose bench has Jason Hayward, $180 million. Kyle Schwarber, one of the best young hitters in the game. A guy like Ian Happ, who can play anywhere. And then you even have a guy like Gore, who's just so fast and speedy. I was really happy. I was, you know, I don't want to be biased, but I was rooting for Colorado. And I'll tell you why. Every single team that they've played has had more things in them. The Dodgers are able to go get Manny Machado and Brian Dozier at the deadline.
They have the best roster in baseball.
The Rockies work with what they have, and that may not be the best guys. They may not be able to pull out Hamels and Kyle Hendricks out of their bullpen. They bring in guys like Oberg, Rustin, and a few guys that they do sign, like Wade Davis. But even Ottavino, who gave up a run, he pitched really high leverage situations.
So, even that run, I think that was just because he wasn't checking the base runner when that pitch, because he was just so focused on the batter. And in a one-run game, you kind of got to focus on the batter because there's no way that runner scores if you're not paying attention. If you strike out that guy, then that runner doesn't score.
And he got him to 0-2. He got Baez down in the count. However, he left a hanging slider, and Ottavino was throwing so many, he was mixing his slider with his fastball, something he likes to do. He's got a devastating slider. But you have to think about Baez as a potential top three MVP candidate, a finalist for the MVP. Almora had had a good game. He had, you know, had had two hits at that point. But you don't think about pitching around Baez a little bit more?
Yeah.
Don't let Baez beat you. Rizzo's now out of the game. And one thing I will say, Chris Bryant didn't look like Chris Bryant last
night.
He looked totally overmatched by low mile per hour pitches. These guys were blowing 92, 94 past him. It's like people don't realize, they know that Chris Bryant's a name. But baseball, you need timing and you need to have played. Bryant missed so much time this year that people just overlooked that.
Especially when I think about the Cubs roster, I mean, I was thinking of David Bodie, stuff like that. Like, did he play last night?
Yeah, he started in the third.
Yeah, he started. But then exactly, like, where did he go by the end of the game? Because I was writing a paper. I couldn't watch until about the eighth or ninth inning. So I was definitely – another thing I was looking at was the Colorado Rockies lineup. This lineup is potent. I mean, it's really good. I think something I was surprised about was Matt Holliday started in left field. He did go 1-for-3, but, yeah, Parham is – you could say he's a better baseball player, but Matt Holliday didn't start playing until August. So there you go right there. That was a risky move by Bud Black, but in the end...
And he's salvaging the defense, because Holliday just clearly is not the same.
Yeah, defender.
He wanted to play righty-lefty matchups, Holliday being the righty, Parra, and Carlos Gonzalez, a guy who often gets overlooked a little bit.
Yeah, he's...
You know, it's cool when that happens for guys. Gonzalez is a lifetime Rocky. He started in Oakland. He was actually traded for Holliday. It's nice to see when guys who... For most of their prime, they didn't get the spotlight that they deserved. Gonzalez was never playing in the playoffs with the Rockies.
Yeah, that's true.
And that era of him and Tulo was, was gone. But now these guys have another opportunity to, like...
And they can contribute something.
Which is really interesting to see. So that was the NL game. Great game. Good for baseball. We turn to tonight. One of the things that's become a new trend in baseball is... bullpen games. And Tampa Bay started it this year. They went into the year and they said, we're going to have some games where the starter's only going to throw an inning. We may even have guys like Sergio Romo, a known closer, you know, start games. Oakland is taking that approach tonight. They're going to throw Liam Hendricks, a guy they DFA'd this year. They're not going to ask of him to do much than just get three outs.
Yeah, three outs. That's what they're going to do, and part of it, this is, like, perfect for a wild card game because you're sitting there going, all right, you have your bullpen pitchers pitch one inning. You have nine bullpen guys. Why don't you just have them each throw an inning? And if they're not able to throw three outs, then you can put in a starter to throw two, three innings. But then it's perfect for a wild card scenario because then they can go play in the division series games without being super fatigued.
Definitely. And just recently today, each side had to release their roster. And their roster can change after the wild card game, which, of course, changes drastically how you set your team. With Oakland carrying 11 pitchers, you're looking for guys to go one or two innings. You know, guys like Edwin Jackson could go two innings.
Yeah.
Yusmeiro Petit could go an inning and a third, inning and two thirds.
No, I see Edwin Jackson coming into the game.
What they're going to try and do is get this game to the seventh inning with a lead. The first few innings of this game can have drastic implications for both sides. The Yankees also want to get this game into the later innings between Betances, Chapman, and Britton, and Robertson. And for Oakland, Familia, Trinan, a guy who's been so overlooked this year, and even guys like Trevino and Rodney. Whoever wins this game, I feel, will win it with how they produce in the first few innings.
I feel like the Oakland A's are that team. It's like exactly listening to watching Moneyball, like, play out again, because you're watching all of these old, not old, but some of these just rusty players just come into Oakland and just perform great. Like Edwin Jackson, who knew he was going to have a such a good year as this? He's been on, what, 13 teams? You know, it's just crazy how like some of these no names are doing great. Something that is interesting to me, I read this morning, was that there's three Yankees catchers on the roster today. There's Higashioka, Romine, and Sanchez. Personally, from a perspective from that, I'm kind of confused because it's not like you can switch Gary from a catcher to a DH and then insert Stanton into the outfield. It's not like that. So I don't understand how Higashioka is going to get into this game, where you could have that bat, instead of being Higashioka, you could have it be Bird if a Reddy comes in. That's where I'm kind of confused. I still think there's great depth on the infield. Neil Walker, you can play every position on the diamond. Tyler Wade, Luke Voit, Glaber, Adani, I think, is going to come in the later innings versus Andujar. I think Boone is going to play this out exactly how the fans want it, so there can't be any controversy. That's why he started Severino. He didn't start Hap. He didn't start a recently struggling Tanaka, who probably just lost it in the last two games. He's going to play it very safe.
You know, with this game, the reason for having the three catchers is, and having Hechavarria on the roster, is in the end of the day, pitching and defense wins. And if you have guys, Andujar, Sanchez, great, you know, you want their bat in the lineup. But if you're leading late in the game, you're going to go with the defense. And what having the third catcher does is you have Romine, who can replace Sanchez. And if you want to hit for Romine, you can. It doesn't limit you to saying, I have to use Romine.
Yeah.
So the game tonight, it's going to be great. 8:00 in TBS in New York. Should be interesting because both of these teams, you know, Yankees won 100 games, Oakland won 97. Whoever Boston plays is not going to be a cakewalk.
Let me say something right here, as we'll get into the bigger overall postseason. Whoever wins this game, I think, has a good chance at taking down Boston, just because I think Oakland is an outsider team. They're hungry. They want it. And especially because Boston has such a hard time playing against postseason teams. That you know, it's just a struggle for Boston. Their starting pitcher just drops out. And baseball has changed over the past 10 years. It used to be you get your starting pitcher, Tim Lincecum, to throw 8-9 innings. Cliff Lee, Roy Halladay, throw 9 innings. And there you go. No bullpen needed. But now it's the other way around, where what
you
Oakland
have
is
the
doing,
arms.
And now Oakland has a strong bullpen. Yankees have a strong bullpen. Boston has a horrible bullpen. I mean, you're just trying to get it to Kimbrel. I was reading an ESPN article. Like, it doesn't matter who comes before. Joe Kelly has a 4 ERA. He's not the guy for them at all.
So, speaking about the Red Sox and the rest of the teams remaining in the playoffs, I'm going to ask you, Cameron, how do you see things shaping out? So let's start. Tonight's wild card game. Who do you have? Give me one reason why, and let's just keep cycling through them.
So I have a big bias because I'm a Yankees fan, but I think the Yankees will win. I hate saying this. I'm super, super superstitious, so I really don't like saying this, but I think they will. I think, and you know who is the biggest X factor in this game? Gary Sanchez is the biggest X factor in this game. If he goes 2-for-4 or 2-for-3 with no pass balls, I'm saying that not jokingly. If he does not have a single pass ball, praise him all you want. That's what you need out of him. He had 18 pass balls. He played 83 games this year, and he still led the league in passed balls. That is a huge problem. And especially with Oakland, they're going to be scrapping for those runs. They're going to be stealing. They're going to be doing whatever they can to score runs. So definitely, I think Gary Sanchez is the X factor in that lineup and out in the field.
So you have the Yankees getting in. They take on Boston in a best of five, which drastically changes how the games are played, the significance of, you know, winning the first few. Boston and New York, the first time they'll be playing since 2004 in the playoffs. And then you have on the other side Cleveland and Houston. Who makes it to the ALCS and who makes it to the World Series in your eyes?
I think the Indians, they can't match up against... I get that they can't match up against Houston. I get that you have Kluber and Bauer, but they are no... That's two starters, and then you can compare them to Verlander. You can compare it to Verlander, Morton, Keuchel, and what's his name? Sorry.
Cole.
Yeah, Garrett Cole. There you go, right there. Those are your... That takes it right. ALCS will be Houston. And then I say, if it ends up being Yankees-Boston, that is where I say the Yankees will win, only because they will out-pitch the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Only because I think CeCe's big time. J.A. Happ is going to be good against... J.A. Happ is undefeated this year versus the Red Sox. And I think our bullpen just matches up much better than theirs.
So for me, I also have New York winning tonight. I think... I don't like to be a guy who says, oh, experience is the be-all and end-all. Yeah. However, New York played in this exact circumstance last year. Almost a to a T. Severino is throwing again.
Yeah.
He gets another chance at, you know, making up for last year where the team really put him on their back because he was terrible. I see New York winning because Oakland, they're a nice story, but I don't know how well they can stack up to a team like New York. So I'm a little different. I think the whole season, everybody has kind of categorized the Cleveland Indians as a team who's lucky to be there because of
their division
and their record against the division. They've all have over half their wins have come against their division. However, I don't think people have given this roster the respect that it deserves. Kluber is one of the top guys I'd want in any game. You're getting Trevor Bauer back. You have Carrasco. You have two of the best remaining left-handed relievers in your pen. Between Hand and Miller, if the two of them can stay healthy, they can just play matchups, but and their starters can keep them into the game. And I think Allen can be serviceable in the closer role. To top that off with, maybe one of the deepest lineups you can have, Lindor. Brantley is back, finally. You know, what if they had him against the Cubs in 16? You have Donaldson, who I was at first cautious of because, you know, you need to get the at-bats and you need to get your timing down. But he has really looked pretty good, I think, since coming over to Cleveland. I like Houston, but I think the Cleveland's going to win in four there.
Wow. Four?
I think they're going to win in four. I think Kluber can win game one. They may lose game two. Game three, I like Carrasco. I think he pitched great against New York last year in the playoffs. He's been a great, he's a very underrated pitcher. He's not an ace, but he's more than just a guy you can throw out there every five innings. He's a great dad, great guy.
Here's where, well then if that's true, then the X factor is Cody Allen.
Can he lock it down in the
ninth? Yeah, because you can't have two relievers in a five-game series. And we learned that last year. This is why Houston is so potent. They have the guys... you look at there and you go, the Roberto Ozuna trade, that's working out. I know people can say whatever they want about it, but that trade is working out for them. And for me, I just can't see an Indians team who's been, I felt like, playing horrible baseball this all season can automatically turn on the Jets. at the last. I know Bauer had a great year, and so did Kluber, but I don't think you can turn on the Jets in the playoffs.
One other,
like that.
You know, guy who could be a very big pitcher for the Indians is in a 5-game situation, you only need 3 starters. You could have Kluber throw game 1, Bauer 2, and Carrasco game 3. Mike Clevinger and his ability to pitch an inning in the third, something like Miller from the right side. Mm. This guy was devastating this year. They're the first team ever to have 4 starters have 200 strikeouts in a season. How he pitches out of relief in the first round is something I think really you need to watch for. So when I have Boston getting out in the American League, I think Boston beats New York. And I think that they have the offense that can stack up against the Yankees and better. Their bullpen isn't that great, but if you look at statistics, Chapman has been horrendous against Boston since he's come over to New York. I like the Killer Bees. Betts, Bogarts, Benintendi, Bradley. They play as a real... It's interesting. They have 2 boppers, Betts and Martinez. Those guys are pros.
But Bradley.
And the rest of the team plays in a... And they live up to their role. Bogarts does what he needs to do. Bradley does what he needs to do. They work well as a team. With New York, I just haven't seen the cohesiveness. For one stretch it's Stanton, and then the next stretch it's Judge. They haven't gotten it yet to go.
Well, that was the problem with the Yankees season all year. They never got hot all at the same time. Maybe this postseason is when it happens, but that is a big... You can't have... McCutchen and Voit aren't going to be this good. And they're not even that good, but they can't be this exciting.
You can't rely. You can't rely on Luke Voit to win you play games in October. Luke Voit can be the X factor, and he can continue off of his great and middle of August to end of September. He was great for the Yankees.
Player of the month.
He may have even gotten them the opportunity to have this game at home against Oakland. But if you're thinking Luke Voit is going to get this done for us, you just can't have, you can't think that your X factors are going to lead it for you. And I need to see these guys play as a real unit and not just go hitting for the homers. They set the major league record for most home runs in a season.
Yeah, but...
But you need to play sound baseball like the Rockies did last night. Arenado, Story, he could have gone swinging for the fences.
But he could have said...
Let's get some out of a rally going. Let me just try and put the ball in play get
better.
On base, make the defense work. That's one of the things that I think wins in the playoffs. I think New York challenges Boston. I think it goes 5. I don't like how Severino has thrown in the second half of the season, but I don't think that makes it matter.
Okay.
So we now shift over to the National League side, which is a lot different. I think one thing that got really shown in the All-Star game, even though it went into extra innings, is how much more talented the American League roster is and how the American League has really top teams. They have 3 teams who win 100 games in their conference. In the National League, you got Milwaukee, Colorado, and LA, Atlanta.
Okay.
What happens?
I got to go with LA. And I really don't want to because they have not been playing like as they should. They got Dozier, Machado, David Fries, all these guys that have, well, David Fries has great postseason history. There's no way I can sit there and go, I see Atlanta beating them. Atlanta doesn't have... this is the beginning of a long story for Atlanta being well in years to come. I am not doubting that. But what I am doubting is their experience this year, their lack of pitching. And they're kind of like Boston in a way that they just work well together. Everyone is just able to click.
Well, that team changed ever since they moved Acuna to the leadoff spot.
Yeah. Definitely when you bring some pop and some energy in that leadoff spot. I think it's a great team. You love Nick Markakis. I'm not denying that he's a great player, but I see Dodgers taking that series. And then on the other side of the table, I see the Brewers beating Colorado in 4 games. I do think Colorado will win a game, but I just think that the Brewers are the hottest team and one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. They are looking fantastic. They're deep, and the guys that were, like, we were talking about how Matt Holliday and how Matt Holliday has something to contribute to this team, and Matt Holliday has something to contribute to this team. Well, I think Ryan Braun has something to contribute to this team, and you know it is a young team, but he is raking. Him, that outfield is so potent. And they have a deep bench too with Thames. I see them winning the NL Championship Series too. I see them going and beating the Dodgers.
I definitely agree with you on Atlanta. I think things are interesting. You know, you don't want to project outwards, but if you look at the state of the NL East, Miami is going through a total remake. They're changing the entire organization. Washington may lose Harper in the offseason, and that era that they've had where they haven't won a playoff series is coming to an end. The Mets are in a situation where they have great players, but they don't have they have too many holes. Philadelphia is relying a bit on how well they can develop their young talent and sign free agency. Atlanta has everything. They will be a team for many years to come. However, they don't stack up pitching-wise with LA, and they just don't have the same pieces. They're a very good team, but they're just not there yet. With Milwaukee, I really, really like that team, and I think that here's where the Rockies get hurt in terms of the wild card game. Freeland can't pitch a few games. I don't trust Gray, and I don't trust Marquez in games 1 and 2 in Milwaukee. I could easily see Milwaukee winning the first two at home and making it look like, all right, Colorado's in a lot of trouble. Colorado can win a game with Freeland at home. He's a great pitcher, a great left-handed bat. Maybe that helps, you know, when facing guys like Christian Yelich, and Moustakas and Shaw. But in the end, Milwaukee is just like, out of nowhere, this team has just been stupendous. I see them playing LA in a tight NLCS. I see Milwaukee getting out of there. I agree with you. I think Milwaukee wins the NL. The Dodgers are a good team, probably the most known team to the non-observant baseball fan. But they haven't clicked at this season, and it's hard to think that they're just gonna come out of here and click now. So I have it set up with Milwaukee making it out of the NL and the Cleveland Indians in the American League. And I see the Milwaukee Brewers winning the World Series. I think that a team who can run, hit homers, have a great bullpen, have sufficient starting pitching, that works. That's what's proven to work. The Royals, when they won a few years ago, they didn't have the top aces. They didn't have the Sales and Severinos of the world. They had guys who knew their role. Hader, Jeffries, Knebel, Soria, Cedeno.
Such a good bullpen.
Such a deep bullpen where those guys can be used at any moment. And comparing with Cleveland, I think Cleveland is going to get it together. And I really am interested to see this because whether they want to or not, they realize this could be their last opportunity at doing something. They don't have all the money in the world to spend. Brantley, Miller, Allen, they could all leave at the end of the year. They need to come together as a group, and I think I see that happening. You have Milwaukee coming out of the NL. How do you see your AL coming up? And then we'll, you know, wrap up this week's podcast.
I see the Astros coming out of the... I see the Astros coming out of the American League, and the Brewers, like I said, coming out. And then, I might go with the hot team right now, And I might go with Brewers winning the World Series. I've been going back and forth on this for days, kind of in my own mind. Like, oh, Astros. Like, they're the name. They're the team. They got Altuve, Springer, Correa, Bregman. Just everyone. Their lineup is the most deep. It's one of the most deep lineups. But then when I look at Milwaukee, I just sit there and I go, wow, you got great young studs. You got some old vets taking over this team and driving them. You got Josh Hader throwing three-quarter angle side sliders that are just crazy to watch. Like, this team is so fantastic. Yeah, I mean, they're the team that came out of this spring training. Like, all right, let's see what we got, and then we'll show you. Because everyone was coming over from free agency or trades. They made the biggest boom. But then they were still not talked about in the middle of the year. I think our last podcast, we didn't even mention them once. And they're just going to come out. They're going to come out in this postseason gates like they did with the Cubs on Monday. And they're just going to blow, I think, the baseball world away. They will win the World Series in 7 games versus the Astros.
So, that's the podcast. We didn't get into football in the start of basketball season this episode. You know, baseball is really coming down to the home stretch, and it's going to be an exciting finish to what we believe has been a pretty solid baseball year all around. Some good competition. Next week, we're going to get into some football as we've gotten past the quarter mark of the season, where teams are stacking up playoff-wise, key injuries, potentially even trades. Even those happen in football every once in a while. And maybe we'll get to our basketball season preview as the season gets starting in mid-October. So we want to thank you, and we'll try and see you next week.